Last time I shared about God's handwriting, and I have a few circumstances where I see in the Bible where God Himself wrote something. And last time we spoke about God writing on stone when He took the people out of Egypt. He brought them to the Mount Sinai, and He had to explain them how they should supposed to behave. He had to lead them. So God gave them the commandments they should live by. And God chose to write those commandments on stone. And we have learned last time that God chose to write this in such a way that it will be permanent for people, or not easy for people to destroy or to misinterpret or change that. It's something that God wrote there and was there for them to obey and live by. However, sometimes it can be, even rock can be changed, or it can be eroded by water if it constantly drips in the same spot. And we have learned it's dangerous for us as humans that we take God's words lightly, and we might end up changing what He intended to say. Well, today I'm going to share a second circumstance where I see God Himself writing. And today I'm going to talk about guiding God writing on our hearts. God writing on people's hearts. This is something that is so dear to me, so special to me, because I am one of those people who struggle a lot to obey God's commands and just try my best and my, you know, just to go and obey what God had told me to obey. And it was not long before I realized I cannot do that. It's so hard. It's so, God's standards are so high. And God told His people all these commands, all these principles for them to obey and live by them. And these people, the Israelites, they tried, but nobody could just live and get close to God and just say, yes, Lord, I complete 100% what You asked to do. It was impossible because of our sinful state we are in. So God decided to do something else. God decided to do something that will help us as people to follow Him, to love Him, and to know Him better. So I'm going to read today from Jeremiah chapter 31, starting in verse 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, starting in verse 31. These chapters here, Jeremiah talks about the new covenant, what God is going to make for His people. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with the ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds, and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. This is exactly the verses that are quoted also in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 10 through 11. God said to His people, I want to make something new. The old covenant was not able to help them come. It helped partially to guide them towards God, to know that God is different, to learn about His character and how God is and how they're supposed to behave and how they're supposed to know God. But this was impossible for them to experience fully. And God just said, I'm going to make something new. I'll make a new covenant with you. And in Ezekiel chapter 36, starting in verse 26, God speaks about the same thing. And he says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. So the old covenant, this was a set of rules that God gave to his people to follow. And it's not just the Ten Commandments. It's over 600 rules they had to obey. It's not just those 10. It was a bunch of rules. And these rules had to be strictly obeyed. If not, even people could die if they do not obey those rules. So the old covenant was all about these rules, external rules that people had to follow. The new covenant is about this inner change that God wants to make. He tried to change people from inside out. In this new covenant, if you pay attention, what I just read in Jeremiah and also in Ezekiel, it repeats itself, and it says like this, I will. God says, I will do it. In the old covenant, it was, thou shalt not. You should not do this, you should do this, and you should do that. You don't do this, you don't do that. And people had to learn that. But it came to a moment where God saw that people struggled so much. And the point of the law was to prove that nobody could keep that. God is holy 100% and nobody could get to that. And God says, I will do that for you. I will do that for you. This is something that God wants to do for us. He wants to change our hearts and write his laws and his commands in our hearts. Now, this is something that may be difficult for us to understand. Maybe something like, you know, it's how God can do that. And this is a supernatural thing. We try to teach our kids or, you know, people around us, like we try to teach them something and we can repeat over and over again and sometimes people don't get it. And God says, I can do it in a supernatural way. That change that comes from within, from inside. Jesus talked about this new covenant in Luke chapter 22, verse 20, at the supper. He says, after the supper, he took the cup saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. This new covenant was perfect because this was the covenant that Jesus was about to fulfill, the terms for that. It's not people who says, Lord, yes, you can trust me, I will do it, I'll do my best to obey you. This is Jesus who brought to us something that was impossible for us to achieve. In Romans chapter 3, Paul talks about, and he says, like, all have sinned. Not just some people. Well, nobody could just keep this covenant. Everybody just couldn't obey that. For this covenant to happen, God is not going to run after us and say, well, I don't care if you want it or don't want it. I want to change your heart. It's not going to work like that. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26, God says, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes delight in my ways. He did not ask, my son, I give you one more chance. My son, can you prove to me from this day on you're going to be able to do what I tell you? He did not say, okay, just prove to me that I have to trust you one more time. God says, give me your heart. He does his part, but also he asks us to do our part. We have to accept and humble ourselves and come before him and say, Lord, I want these laws to be written in my heart, inside me. The law was about external things, ceremonial things, and all these things that people were supposed to follow. When Jesus came in Matthew chapter 5, 6, 7, he made this transition from the old covenant to the new covenant. You heard in the past days. You should not do this. You should not do that. But I tell you, Jesus says, and he raises up the standard. But he was not just making it more difficult for us. He just wanted to show us that this new standard is possible to live. He proved that with his life. When he was 33 years and a half, people could not accuse him of one thing that he did wrong. They had to pay some liars to come falsely testify about him, and they misinterpreted his words and said, well, he was about to destroy the temple and then he wanted to do this and that, but they could not prove that he did something wrong, and God accepted his sacrifice because Jesus was the perfect, lived a perfect life, and he wanted and he wants to give us also this life that he has for us. This new covenant that God is bringing to us, it changes our relationship with him. I know that God wrote his laws in my heart when I look at my relationship with him. It says here in Jeremiah, I will be their God, verse 33. I will be their God. This is the covenant that changes our relationship with God. God took them by the hand out of Egypt. But these people did not follow him all the time because the heart was not right. It was a heart of stone and rock, and he did not want to do that. And God wanted to make these people like willingly give their heart to them. God is not going to force me to follow him. I remember a story. I'm not sure if it's true or not. So there's this family sitting at a dinner table. And one of the boys, the little boys, he was more like a rebellious kid. And he did not want to sit down on the chair. He was just standing up there. And the father told him, hey, kid, just take a seat like all of us. And he said, no, I'm not going to do it. He was upset or something. And the father said, well, I tell you a second time, have a seat. And he said, no, I don't want to sit down. He was whatever he had in his mind. And the father told him, this is the final warning. Have a seat. If not, you're going to be in trouble. Well, finally, the kid sit down. But he says, guess what? In my mind, I'm standing right now. Physically, I'm sitting here. But in my mind, I'm standing right now. So in other words, the father made him physically obey, but the heart was not changed. In his heart, he was standing, he was still rebellious, he did not obey God. I find that this is how sometimes people are. We can like train people. Well, they can say the right words, we can say the right things, we can memorize the Bible. Even Satan knows the Bible better than all of us. He dared to come to Jesus and challenge him. And just the fact that we know the Bible and we know all these things, it doesn't necessarily mean that everybody who knows the Bible and they can say the right things, their heart is right. Sometimes people inside, they're just different. So Jesus came to change us from inside out. We can throw verses at each other all day. Well, husbands, you should be like that. Wives, you should be like that. Children, you should be like that. And we can say this all day long. If the heart is not willing, if we don't give our heart and say, Lord, please do this for me, it's not going to happen. It has to be God who changes that inside of us. And it's God. The more we spend time with him, the more we talk to him, the more we read his word, it will become part of us. It will change us. It's something that, I mean, we cannot just spend time with God and just be like the world. We're not be changed into his image. This is something inevitable. If we love God and we try to obey this command, it's more and more every day we'll become like him. We grew up in the USSR. So we, in that country, well, I mean, we were been affected by poverty and everything there, by the culture. So one of the things that was strange for us when we came to US was that we see people smiling everywhere. Like, you know, you see somebody, you smile. If you smile to a stranger in USSR, they think something's not right with you. They look at you like, what's wrong with you? Even like when we do like pictures in our passports, it's a very serious man or woman. Just we look, you know, like very solemn. And because the culture affected us. It implemented that. It was struggles. It was constantly, you know, the government watching us. And we always were like, you know, constantly careful. When we spend time with God, it will change our hearts, our lives. We'll start to think like Him. We'll start to behave like Him. We'll start to talk like Him. Peter and apostles, after they spent time with Jesus, people noticed. They said, hey, your speech is just betraying me. You're like, you have been with Jesus. And this comes from inside. This comes from inside. I remember these weeks, God spoke to me especially through this short message I listened. The reason God gave us the private life, our thoughts, which nobody sees, is to test us if we truly want victory over sin or not. If we want just like external to have a good reputation, if we want just externally people to know us, and Lord, just help me to behave good when people are around me, like, you know, people to see that I'm a good person. If that's the only time that I want victory over sin, it's not a true and desire, or it's not the genuine desire in us that we want to be like Jesus, or our heart to be changed. Because if we are truly changed and God puts His laws in our heart, regardless if somebody sees me or if I'm alone somewhere, if I am tempted to do something wrong or to think something wrong, immediately the Holy Spirit will remind me that I need to change. This comes from inside. It's not from outside. It's inside me. I remember I saw two brothers talking about something. And one of the brothers told the other brothers, hey, there is a way to do, you know, some things there. And this other brother said, brother, I cannot do that. Because, and he said a chapter from the Bible, which says God spoke against this thing. It was not a sinful thing. It was like, you know, a 50-50. But in his mind, he said, I cannot do that. Why? Because of the heart. See, a lot of times, I'm listening like to people explaining some things, and they always find something in the Bible to support that. And that's good when we look into the Bible to find things that, you know, God said or did, and we follow that guidance. But what surprises me is when people live in sin and they can find support in the Bible. And this is very dangerous, because if God speaks to us and He sees in me that sensitive heart. You know, the heart is so sensitive that if you just punch a little bit in there with something, it can stop. And God looks at my heart. If I am sensitive to His voice, God is not going to use a microphone or something like some very loud speaker and yell at me and say, well, you have to repent. You do this, you do that, and you do the other thing. If I constantly want to justify myself, I'm afraid that one day, the Bible says we become blind by the world. People become blind. That this world has blinded people. Like, they look at these things and they, you know, constantly justifying. And all of a sudden, we see that our heart is not sensitive no more to God's voice, to God's Spirit. I try to have my heart sensitive to God's voice. I encourage all of us to have the same thing, like analyze ourselves. And, you know, whenever somebody tells something about me, I always ask myself, Lord, is that true or not about myself? For example, I used to speak about people that I believe they, maybe they, you know, they are doing something that is not biblically correct. And somebody told me, maybe you should not call their names. Whenever you talk about them, maybe you should not call them their names, because not everybody is like, you know, like you, well-intended. People might just talk bad about that. And I thought, man, I can look in the Bible and can find support for me in that area. But at the same time, I'm thinking, Lord, is it true? Is that truly my desire to follow you? And I just look at this and my heart is filled with pain. And I just want, Lord, I'm just so sad when I see these things where I just want to look right and just justify myself. It's very important to have God's word written in our hearts. The way I understand that is that this is inside. Nobody can see that. It's so deeply written in our conscience, in our mind, in our heart, that even if somebody tries to change something, like say, hey, maybe for kids in school or for us at work, say, hey, how about this? Or taxes, you know, season is here. I don't know how everybody's doing taxes, but it's for us, we come from a country where, you know, we pay taxes, but not us here. I mean, this is a completely different world. And there are people who do taxes right. There are people who cheat on taxes. And I tell you, it's not easy to do 100% right. And you have to constantly remind yourself, do I just try to look right before people, or I want to be right before God? When I was in the Bible school, I'm going to make a confession here. I cannot remember what subject it was, but it was one of those, I don't know, it was history or something, I don't know. And we had a test, and I believe all of us, like, we did not have time to prepare for that test, and I believe all of us, we just cheated, like, we copied the answer from, like, we had a conversation, and we just, the teacher was not there. He let us, you know, and we just used the time profitable, and we just came to an agreement, and we wrote down the answer. And he came, he picked up the papers and everything, and we all passed, except one student who failed. I still remember him. He was not a great preacher. He did not speak in a way that impressed people. Very skinny guy, very small guy, kind, very, and his name is actually like Solomon, you know, from the Bible. The reason he failed is because he did not want to cheat. He did not blame us, he did not say anything about us, he just chose to fail. And I often think about him. And I can tell you for sure, in that circumstance, in that situation, his heart said, no, don't do it. God's law was in his heart. We were thinking, the other of us, we were thinking, well, maybe, you know, we found excuses for that. And that man still is in my mind today because he chose to do what is right. When I look around me today and I see people doing stuff, what is my heart telling me? Do I follow God's rules in my heart? Do I want to listen to that tiny voice inside me? That kind voice who says to me, my son, my daughter, don't say that. Don't reply that way. Follow me. Follow me. I am like a sheep. People thought, okay, now we have him. Now we got him, Jesus, right? Now we can prove he's wrong. Crucify him. Crucify him. But Jesus followed God's guidance and God's will in all this, and he said, I'm going to follow through even though I have to suffer, even though I have to pay with my life. When we follow God's rules and commands and promises, it becomes our nature. The more we listen, the more we read, the more we just desire more and more of God's word in our lives, this becomes our nature. We react that way. We become like that. We become like the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, the Bible says. Jesus became all these principles about God. The holiness, the love, the righteousness of God, the mercy of God, the wisdom of God became flesh in Jesus. And they could see Him every day. How is He going to react when people talk about him badly, when people mistreated him, he just became that word, that nature that reflected God's character and nature among those people. It is our calling today. It's my calling today. When people look at me, I need to represent God's nature. I cannot produce that. It is God who has to take those laws from externally, from this, from the whole Bible, and put it in my heart, and I become like that. And I become like that. I behave like Him. When we got married, and I remember our first daughter was born. You know, like everybody knows, when kids are small, there's a lot of, you know, like they cry at night sometimes, they have all this. When our daughter started to cry at night, I did not see my wife getting a checklist and say, okay, what I'm supposed to do if my child cries out at, you know, 3 a.m.? Okay, follow this point. Okay, step one, two. No, it was the nature. She just jumped out and just goes and, you know, does all those things. It became the nature of a mom. It's the heart that tells, do this or do that. Do you know that actually when usually the shopping list, I don't know if any wife or wives have a shopping list, but husbands, we do often. Okay, I need the picture of what you want me to do. I don't, where is it about in the, you know, on the, in the, in the store? And we need the shopping list because it's not in our nature. Our wives, they know exactly, you know, what they need, where, you know, they don't need that list because it's part of their heart, part of what they do, and they live with that. It's the same thing with God's word. Whenever we are tempted and we take this word, I say, Lord, make it alive in me. Lord, I don't want just to be a Pharisee or like, you know, somebody who knows the Bible and just can give you the best argument to shut somebody up. No, Lord, I want to be like Jesus. And when somebody tempts me, I don't want to go like, okay, if somebody's tempting me in traffic, I don't go, okay, what am I supposed to forgive or, you know, just ignore or pray? God says, thank God for everything. I'm going to practice this until it becomes a reality in my life. I will say every time it's hard for me to say, thank you, Lord. I'm going to repent and say, Lord, help me to thank you for everything in my life. And it's not easy. It's not easy. Even today, coming to church, me and my wife, we talk about things that hurt us. That we need God to work in our life, in our family, and we need God's help. And we're not going to give it up. And I say, Lord, we want this to be a reality in our life. We want this to become our nature. We want this, Lord, to be real in our lives. The danger is that if we are mixing God's word with, you know, whatever ideas from the world, and we try to, you know, make the best out of the both worlds, the danger is that we are not going to be so awake or like, you know, thinking clearly. And Jesus warned us about that in Luke chapter 21 when he talked about the last days. And I'm going to read it from the easy read version. Luke chapter 21 verse 34. So it says like this, be careful not to spend your time having parties and getting drunk or worrying about this life. If you do that, you won't be able to think straight and the end might come when you are not ready. Jesus said, be careful, because the times are going to be so difficult. And when he said that, he said about, like, you know, just enjoying life and, you know, having parties. And in another translation, I think it says, don't get drunk with worldliness. Like, just having a good time. Because in this situation, we are affected spiritually. We don't think clearly. We're not going to be able to respond properly. You know, a drunk person, like we have seen a lot of those in our country. And when you see a drunk person, I mean, how do we know he's drunk? Well, first of all, you see him like, you know, waving, like, you know, what's the other word in English? Like, you know, when he's not shaking, maybe, yeah, just not being straight. And, you know, goes like, you know, and it's not a steady person. Goes like back and forth, you know, and just, you know, left and right, and sometimes, you know, horizontal, vertical, you know, and stuff like that. It falls down and gets up. That's what Jesus said. Be careful. Don't get drunk with that. And when Paul talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit, he says, don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And back in the days, I think wine was maybe the best people could have, you know, like to enjoy, like have a party or something. For us today, it might be something else. Whatever, it's the fun, the thing that, you know, just the best in our lives. Not necessarily that sinful. Maybe something that takes the time, the devotion to Jesus. That thing might cause me not to think clearly and not to stay on the path. Paul is writing to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. So Paul writes to Corinthians, and he says, you are the letter from Christ. Not because we constantly, repeatedly told you, like, you should do this, you should do that. Yes, Paul was writing and teaching them day and night. He was, you know, putting the effort in that. But ultimately, he knew, if God does not change your heart, I can do nothing. And he says, God has written, not with ink, but with the Holy Spirit in your heart, his word, his principle. And that's what we try to do today. I am aware that we cannot, as humans, change each other. We can encourage each other. We can warn each other. We can rebuke each other. We can edify each other. We can teach each other. But if there is not a desire, personal desire inside us, to be like God, to follow Him, to have His commands written in our hearts, it's going to be in vain. So I pray and I hope that today, all of us will say, Lord, please write your laws in my heart. Lord, help me to have them in my heart in such a way that I don't care what other people do or say. I want to be faithful to you. I want to follow you, Lord. I want to be faithful to you until the last day of my life. This is something that God does. It's the Holy Spirit. It's Him that works in us. We cannot do it, but it has to be my desire. My son, give me your heart. Open the door and say, Lord, please take this word and make it a reality in my life. I remember the generation of believers in my town. They were experiencing persecution. It was illegal to be a Christian back in those days in the USSR, and I remember some of these brothers sharing when the authorities would come and they persecute the believers. They would fine them, they would give them, like, you know, a fine to pay and arrest them, and some people died, and they would confiscate the Bibles. They would take them and, you know, all these Christian books, and I remember one of these brothers saying, like, replying to these authorities, to the officer, whatever, who came. He said, you can take this Bible out of my hands, but you'll never be able to take it from my heart.
Amen.
These are the people that went ahead of us to heaven. Eternal life is not just knowing the Bible. Eternal life is to know God personally. To know Him personally. And I believe today, this is one of those moments when we have to genuinely ask us, do we just know the Bible, information from the Bible, to say the right things to the right people, or did it become our nature? Is our heart written all over with God's word on it? Whenever I see, like, these famous singers or celebrities, and they go somewhere, People just go and bring something, and you know, an object, or I don't know, a t-shirt or something, and they ask for an autograph. Can you please sign that for me? I actually asked one pastor for an autograph, a Romanian pastor, highly respect him, was at a conference. And for that lesson that he was teaching, I asked him for an autograph because he helped me a lot during the times when I was going through hardship. So it means something for me when somebody writes something on that, and I just look at it and I say, hey, this person just wrote something personal, something meaningful for me. Today, when God is offering to me the Holy Spirit, the fullness of His grace, when He says, I want to change your heart. Back in the days of Jeremiah, when people heard, for them it was science fiction. It was something unbelievable. How it comes, God will put His Spirit inside somebody's heart. God will forgive their sins and not remember them no more. And He will become their Father. It was something impossible to grasp, to think. And yet we are living in those times when God can do that for us. Problem is, we can very easily be distracted. I can be very easily distracted. And I hope today, this will be an encouragement for all of us, for me and for all of you, to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I want an autograph from you. And here's my heart, Lord. Please write your laws in my heart. I want to follow you not because my parents follow you, but because I know you, Lord. Because you have been speaking to me. Lord, I see people complaining left and right about government, about salary, about anything. Lord, you told me my word. Do everything without complaining. Every day, I tell you honestly, when I fall into one of these sins, I thank God that I feel that little pin, I don't know how to say it. Like, God is not knocking me down, but in my spirit, I know that that thing is not right. Not because somebody called me and said, hey, it's not right. Because in my heart, God is trying to write something. And sometimes we got those times when the pins, they were not like these ones with the ink that falls like that easily. It was like a little ball right here at the bottom. And if it was cold outside, or with the paper was not right, you try to write one time and it's not going okay, and you have to try a second time and third time. And sometimes God is having a hard time writing His laws in our heart because of the conditions we are in. Maybe it's hard, maybe it's, I don't know what it is. But we have to be still and come before Him and say, Lord, I neglected these areas in my life. Lord, make them reality for me. Lord, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to live, Lord, according to your commands and to your promises. And Lord, you gave me everything, like Peter says. He gave me everything regarding the godliness, the life that He wants me to live. So I pray that today, God will write on our heart, not just on stone, not just somewhere else, externally somewhere, but inside us, God will write and say, Lord, I want this to be reality. Not just commands, not just a list of things thou shalt not remember. He said, I will do it for you. I will do it for you. And the purpose for the law was to make people aware they are not capable of keeping it. Nobody. Paul said, all have sinned. Everybody have sinned. God gave us the grace, this salvation through grace, so we don't boast about it. We all know we could not keep it. It is Him who does that. So when we come before Him, let's just be humble and say, Lord, please do it for me. Do it for me, Lord. I open my heart. I want this to be true in my life. Lord, I want to be changed into the image of Jesus. May the Lord help all of us. Amen.
Amen.